and welcome to our newest podcast. We are here with Father Joe Krupp, and you are originally a Michigander, is that right?
Yes, yep. I was born and raised in the Flint area.
Right.
My dad's here.
Right,
and, I've been serving in Flint as a priest for the last just year, but served all over.
Right, I met you through my cousins.
Yes.
They said to you, I have a fabulous cousin in Grand Rapids that can help you with your hearing, right?
I believe the phrase goddess was used a couple times. A goddess cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, Grand Rapids, who can help? So.
Okay, well, we've been in practice 25 years, so I think that's probably a little bit under our belt.
Yeah,
oh, that totally. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when things are done right, it's really, really, really positive. So.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about your background as far as where you came from, when you grew up, and how you became a priest.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Mount Rose, Michigan. That's north of Flint, a little town there. My mom and dad had six kids, and they adopted a million others. My mom went to be with the Lord just a few years ago, and we counted for her obituary how many people they took in. 38. 38 different people lived in the house that I grew up in.
We'll have to do a podcast with your dad next.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, but it was wonderful. You know, people needed help. It was, that was the reality I grew up with.
Right.
And it's funny, that was dad's mom and dad did the same thing. Mom's mom and dad did the same thing. So it wasn't even really, I think it's fair to say, it wasn't even unusual for us.
Right.
It was just life. Let me see. I don't know how much detail you want. But,
go for it. We've got plenty of time.
After my third arrest, I joined the circus. And
the other guy.
Yeah, it was the second arrest. No, I went to college at U of M Flint. And afterward, I ended up going to seminary. After a time where I did a couple interesting things. I was working construction a lot. There was a guy in our church who hired a lot of us boys to work for him, taught us how to work, and good man.
Use your hands.
Yep. And also, of all things, I wrote a sitcom script with a group of writers that ended up getting bought by Fox.
Right.
So it was about 9 months there that I did that. And then kind of almost that experience, as well as a sense that God was calling me, is what compelled me to go into seminary. And I went to Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit and entered in 93. I already had a couple degrees, so I only needed about five more years to be a priest. I got ordained in 98.
Right.
And I've served, you know, this is funny. This is my 10th and 11th parish I've served at.
Right.
I was the guy who would go in for a year, go in and help, because my full-time regular job was campus ministry. Right. I served as a chaplain at Lansing Catholic High School. Go Cougars.
Yeah.
And then I served at MSU, where Jesus went to school.
Isn't that a fact?
Yeah, that's in the Bible. Don't look it up. Just trust me. And I served there for a lot of years. And So the next assignment took me down to Lenawee County. And then finally, I got moved back to Flint last July.
Right. Back home.
Yep.
Back home.
Just
how
25
nice is that?
Minutes from dad.
Right. How nice is that, right?
Yeah. Not for him, but I love it. Yeah. For him, it's, I believe the phrase uses as a purgatorial.
I think it's partners in crime. I think that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's probably what's happening, too.
Yeah.
So I know there's so many things to talk about, but it's very, very big presence in your life is Marius.
Yeah. Oh,
tell
yeah, Marius. Yep. Yep. I've got a dog. It's kind of a crazy story. It starts sad. But one of my my dearest friend, he died very unexpectedly. He was a priest in Detroit at Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak. And I ended up taking one of his dogs. A 150-pound Newfoundlander. And the dog, she was a joy to have. She slept 20 hours a day, and the other four she napped.
My kind of dog.
just this big, hairy fur ball of love. And she was quite old when I got her. But when she died, I actually got a letter from a Newfoundlander foundation. They said she might have been the oldest one in the Midwest. She was 14.
Really? For a big dog, yeah.
Big girl, yeah. And real tender-hearted. So I went to take all of her stuff. I was with my buddy Lonnie, and we went to the animal rescue to turn in all her stuff to donate.
Right.
And there was this little knucklehead there that had been there 2 years. And he had an awful start to life.
2 years?
Yeah. And it was instant. Like, mm-hmm. that was like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
And so I took him home that day, Marius. I named his name, they weren't sure of his name. Uh-huh. He had been abandoned. Uh-huh. But I named him after a Roman general. I was actually going to name him after a Roman general named Sulla. And then I saw his little face, and nope, he's a Marius, who was actually Sulla's rival.
Right?
So he's Marius.
Big, tough guy.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. And he is not tough.
No.
No, he is a snuggle bunny. Uh-huh. And, he is
unconditional love.
Oh, totally.
It really is.
And he is by far, and Dad will back me up, the smartest dog I've ever even heard of. That mm-hmm. dog
listens.
Open fridge, open any door.
Mm-hmm.
He figured out how to work the windows on the truck.
Does he have hands?
Yeah, I swear he's got an opposable thumb that he keeps hidden. But he figured out how to open the windows on the truck day two.
Really?
Just, yep.
Seriously?
Yep.
Maybe that's how he got in trouble in the first place to get him to need rescuing.
He's pure evil. Right. And my idea of discipline is stuffing him full of treats and petting him. That's
kill him
that's
with kindness.
When I get firm.
Kill him with kindness.
Yeah. But, he goes everywhere with me. He's not here today.
How old is he? You don't know.
Best guess between now, probably between 9 and 11.
Well, he's always welcome here, just so you know. So
cool.
He'll travel with. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He will steal things. Mm-hmm. I don't if there is any food anywhere. If you put him in a maximum security prison and put a Twinkie outside of it, he'd be outside of that prison.
Figure it out. I can do this, right? Yeah. Okay, well, you are very progressive in your social media. You have lots of followers. You got a lot of things going on that way. And your Talk to the Boss is one of your biggest or most favorite. Tell me about your pathway.
Well, that started in... The idea kind of started... Well, first, getting out, I wasn't going to do any social media.
Right.
And Pope Benedict, I don't know if you remember, he told priests, get on there, mm-hmm. be a light.
It's the new...
Yeah. And so when I first got on, if you'll excuse the phrase, I kind of did it like everybody. Here's my opinion on things. Here's what's... And you know what? That's awful. Mm-hmm. What I came to see is everyone's opinions out there, and no one needs that.
Right.
And it was at my last assignment. I had a deacon there, a wonderful guy. And I just heard him use this phrase a few times. Mm-hmm. I talked to the boss when he was talking to someone else, and he was... I was the boss. God help us. I shouldn't be a judge of a sandbox, right? But he would say this, hey, I talked to the boss, and he said blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And
it stuck with you?
It stuck with mm-hmm. me. And so every morning when I pray, I have this book I write in. And if something, and I just write down whatever kind of strikes me. Mm-hmm. And every day I try. You know, some days I don't, because I don't want to post unless I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just post what I feel like God wants people to know that day.
Right.
You know? And it was really interesting. The one that really blew up, and I was shocked. I never can predict. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll put one out, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing
and
ever.
And it doesn't get any hits, right?
50 likes. I'm like, all right. But this one I had put, and I said, struggling emotionally does not mean failing spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was just a comfort that I felt like the Lord gave me. I was mm-hmm. struggling emotionally that day, and
mm-hmm.
I can't help emotions, you know.
Right. Recognize them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that out there, and my usual at that point was like maybe 50 likes and maybe mm-hmm. 20 retweets. And this was, it was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, a bunch of people started following. And so I don't know, I've stayed with it for a few years, mm-hmm. and... my sister Lori and I are actually working on turning it into a book of daily reflections and meditations. We have no idea what we're doing, and it turns out that makes it tough to do.
So it's like me and the software today. So yes, I can relate.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's really important to get the word out there. So
it is.
Pope is right in saying that's the light.
It
turns the light on. Yeah,
you know, and I do see a lot of priests using it to make sure everyone knows their opinions, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody needs more opinions.
Like everybody, everybody's got a nose, like an opinion. Everybody's got a nose. Everybody's got one. But so being a priest and you're communicating with people all the time, and you're hearing emotional people who are soft spoken. You're hearing people from far away. There's a lot of demands on your. It's a career.
Absolutely.
You're running a corporation as far as your parish.
You're a CEO.
So your hearing is very, very important, especially. And so tell me a little bit about your background in history of hearing.
Well, in fact, that same deacon, the same deacon who I kept hearing say talk to the boss,
mm-hmm.
he pulled me aside and he said, it's just really clear you don't hear people. Mm-hmm. And he had two hearing aids.
That's when they say a hearing loss is more obvious than a hearing aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happened.
And you know, it's funny. It was so, I think, progressive that I knew this. One of my big things is when you catch yourself griping, everybody's blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Statistically, odds are it's your problem. Mm-hmm. And that, I really believe that. And this is one of those where I was like, wait, everybody mumbles. And then I thought, no, probably not.
Yeah.
So yeah. I got connected with an audiologist. Mm-hmm. And that's what it transformed my life. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, being a typical male, I half listened. Mm-hmm. And it turns out you're supposed to follow up, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, which, and that's where I met you. And
right.
Truly, it's been transformative. Like, I can hear, I don't mean to, I can really hear you.
Well, that's what happens. Hearing loss is so gradual.
Yeah.
I get by and everything's fine. But when you turn it back on, you're like, wow, what's happening here?
Yeah.
So it's something that we really... if it happened overnight, we'd be very, very busy.
Yes, yes.
But it never happens overnight. It rarely happens overnight.
And, I can't, like, this is funny. The week before I came to see you, and Dad and I were so excited. Well, I think I was more excited. I think Dad was excited because he's my dad and he loves me. But I was like, we got to go see Avengers, you know,
right,
Infinity
War. Right, right, right.
I left. I couldn't understand anything that
anyone was saying. It's a waste of money, yeah. Waste of time, yeah.
And I had got to the point where I have these headphones, yep, for shooting.
Yep.
That
amplify.
Yeah.
Electronic.
So I was using them in the movie theater so I could hear the dialogue.
So you're not too worried about how you look.
That's no, what I'm not a pretty man. And headphones don't subtract or add. You know what I mean? God took this out of the gene pool. So, but then after I got those, I went and saw a movie and I was emotional. Uh-huh.
It's those little things that you, the sweet nothings, and, and little children, and this, is there school in your church?
Yep. Hearing people's confessions, that's a huge, 8 hours in my week, minimum.
Right.
And honestly, there's nothing to me more awful, well, there's a lot more awful, but something truly awful about someone crying mm-hmm. and telling you mm-hmm. something, and you going, I'm so sorry, I couldn't hear that. And that's a terrible thing to do to someone in pain. And I was doing it all the time, mm-hmm. and almost choking up myself. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Please tell me the horrible thing that it was hard for you to say.
Right.
Why don't you say it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a good recipe for that. But that's what happens with good set of hearing is we're amplifying the soft things. We're leaving the loud things alone. You don't need amplification for loud things, but the soft things we can bring out of the mud.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. That's what we want
to... Yeah, I know I kept saying this to you last week. It's transformative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good word.
I don't know if you were in there. I cried. When you guys first put these in, I just forgot all these things that make sound. Mm-hmm. And Dad drove with me home that day, and I laughed. I just kept bursting
into
laughter. That's
what I remember you doing.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Emotional laugh,
birds and bells, mm-hmm. and oh my gosh.
Bells, birds, voices, beginnings and ends of words.
Oh, yeah.
That without a hearing aid, it kind of sounds like that, but then you take it and it's
sharp
and clear.
When I take them out, and I can't believe I functioned that way.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the night.
Why'd I wait so long?
Yep. Right. And that's what, to like a few people at the parish, I got up the next week mm-hmm. and I said, you know, this has been transformative. Mm-hmm. And if any of you, you know, I've always been too busy. Mm-hmm. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I'm too busy and
excuses,
I can do fine without.
Excuses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I told a lot of people, no, you have nothing to compare it to. Mm-hmm. So go in and find out what you're missing.
Put it on paper.
Yeah.
Just find
it's
out.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. Do you know your background of the hearing loss? Is it in your family or is it just
my mom's? Now, Dad's side of the family, great mm-hmm. hearing, mm-hmm. right? So I do blame my mother.
Yeah.
This is all her fault. She's not here to defend herself, so I'm
easy.
Very comfortable with
easy
that.
Easy with it.
But I do remember as a kid, like all my mom's the youngest of 14. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
a little going? Competition to be heard.
Yeah, exactly. But every male in mm-hmm. that family. When I was a kid, right back when hearing aids were those huge, you know, there was a piece here and a piece here.
Yep.
I think I knew, you know, to some extent, mm-hmm. there was a good chance that was in my future. But again, the hearing loss is so gradual.
Right. Well, everything adds up over time. I know you're in motorsports, shooting, all those things that people do.
And I worked at MIS, right, which is super loud. You can hear those cars miles away.
Right.
And
we actually sponsor a race car, Tyler Naraki Racing, and our name's on the car, and there's just a wonderful family. But we promote better hearing. We're trying to avoid people needing hearing aids. We pass out earplugs at the racetrack and that kind of thing.
Probably you guys. maybe I'm one of those guys too smart. You know what I mean? They give you the hearing aids. Oh, I don't need those.
I'm too tough. My ears are tough. You know,
my
that kind
ears.
Of
yeah.
That's fun. That's a good thing, though. So, even just water, newspaper, it's a newspaper anymore, but water, paper, all those little things make a big difference.
It's a riot.
And they're there. Yeah. You need to hear them, but it takes a little while for your brain to put them in place again.
My feet.
Yeah.
I know that's crazy. I'm like, I walk loud. Yeah. And they're like, no, you walk normal. You just.
Okay, you didn't hear that before.
Yeah.
My dad always said, I can hear myself breathe.
Yeah.
I said, that's good.
Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah, like, my own voice sounds totally different to me. And one of the things, this was so cute, because only kids will be this honest.
Oh,
I went into the classroom and I was talking. One of the kids said, it's nice you're not shouting anymore.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently I was talking really loud.
Uh-huh. And it was like, bellowing at people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate people. And no, I love people. I didn't know I was talking super loud, you know, but I couldn't hear.
Yeah. And that's a symptom. You're talking louder to hear yourself.
Yeah.
And that's just something we naturally do as human nature. All those great things. So, yeah, I'm sure your dad's happy, too, that you have it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Unexpected bonus. Mm-hmm. And you've heard all these things a million times.
Mm-hmm. They're getting stuff.
I'm not so, like, I don't have headaches from, like squinting and staring at people.
Why is he scowling at me?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just trying to hear me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would tell people before I got these, I goes, I'm going to look at your mouth, and I know that's creepy. I just get it right out there. You know what I mean?
So I'm not going to ask you twice.
I would just do that.
You do concentrate. Well, your shoulders can relax.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people come in kind of shy and that kind of thing, and then their two-week checkup, they're joking around with us.
Yeah.
It's a whole different personality comes out. Or we people think dementia's setting in, and it's really not dementia. It's hearing loss, where people they don't go out much anymore. They don't want to go to the movies, that kind of thing, and they sit at home.
I avoided all that stuff as much as I could just because I couldn't hear.
It's easier to do that than to deal with the problem in front of you. So that's an interesting thing. But human nature, you know, we're changing things. It's not grandpa hearing aids anymore. We're connecting to everything.
No one can see these.
You're connecting to your phone.
Yeah.
All kinds of Bluetooth.
It's somewhere around here. Yeah. Oh, there it is. The Harley bag. It's in there. So that's the other thing. I was just telling Angela, Dr. Angela, my sister Lori, she's my hero, right? She lives in Portland, Oregon, and she's a very soft-spoken person, crazy smart, beautiful perspective on the world. Mm-hmm. And I always called her for help and wisdom. I told her about a year ago, we just have to write. And we did, because I couldn't hear her.
Wow.
No matter what I did, I bought expensive headsets.
Right.
I did all this crazy stuff. My first call with these bad boys was her.
Wow.
And we talked 2 hours. Because I'm holding the phone here. I can hear her. And Dad will tell you, she's kind of the rock in our family.
Right.
And
it's a lot of miles between you.
The rest of us are the nuts.
Yeah.
We're all crazy. She's the sane one. But no, I got... And, you know, telling her, I can hear you.
Yeah.
It was just,
It's what we want to do. It just can be so positive when it's done right. Hearing aids are not a commodity.
No.
They're not a one-size-fits-all thing.
Nope.
They're not cookie cutter at all. But when we see 10 people with the same hearing test, they all do different.
Yeah.
With different likes and dislikes. Music. How's music for you?
Oh, yeah. I love listening to lectures. And I know I'm very... I'm very geeky, right? My music tastes are Prince and Sinatra.
Nice,
you know?
Nice.
And I know there's
good.
Other things in Seeger, you know, but anyway, other than that, whatever. But mostly I listen to lectures. Mm-hmm. And again, I gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned closed captioning off on my TV.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Except for Game of Thrones, if the accents are...
Totes. Yeah, yeah, totally. Dragon roars, you know.
I heard that. That's, that's the easy part, right? Well, so it didn't take any time to get comfortable with the feel of them or the...
No, I can't tell they're in. Like, right. I had a pair 4 years ago, and I could tell they were helpful.
Right.
But the blessing here was, and truly, I mean, people keep telling me, I thought you were getting hearing aids. Uh-huh. I'm like, they're in. I promise. That's
we can get you bright red ones if you want.
Actually, I was kind of hoping for some sparklies.
Okay, yeah, we got glitter. We can do that.
Really helps, you know, so I can
fling.
I like right now, I don't know if you noticed when you said that, all of a sudden it hit me and I'm like, yo, they're there. Yeah, I touch them.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people jump in a shower, they forget they're in, all those great things.
I did that with my first set. And it's so funny. I just told Dr. Angela this. I said, I've actually had a couple, you know, anxiety dreams that I've lost them.
Oh, well, we'll have to talk about some spares then.
I mean, they become that important to me.
I think what's also nice about this upgrade that you've gotten is that they're open. They leave your ear open.
Yeah.
So when you don't clog up your ears, you don't feel clogged up. Your own voice is more natural, that kind of thing.
It's crazy.
How about outdoors, birds, nature, those good things?
I could go on and on on that topic because I do like being outside. Yeah. And it's tough. I live in the city now, like if I go see dad, or anywhere and just take a walk and you hear like, I forgot that, like, I think it's grasshoppers or something that fly and you hear that, and it's, it's so cool.
All those sweet nothings. That's what they are.
Water rolling, It's
good stuff. It's good stuff. And that's what, it's a miracle that we can hear as well as we do. Yeah. I can close my eyes and hear two men and I'll know which one's my husband, by those things. There's so many things happening in our brains.
Do you have hearing aids?
No.
Oh.
Just hearing in general.
Oh, because you can hear well. Yeah, jerk. All right. No, fine. Whatever.
Just kidding. So what would you tell somebody who's putting it off? How would you encourage them? Just say,
stop. I'm serious. I would just say, look, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. But I can't describe to you the experience until you got to have it. Just go in, set your thing, get in. I drove 2 hours to come here. Mm-hmm. It's that good. Mm-hmm. And I don't, there are other places, but what got me is you guys just take your time. I'm not like getting bad, and I'm not ripping on anybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody's in a hurry here. And that's what blew me away is when I got the hearing aids, it was, okay, and I'm getting ready to go. No, sit down. You need to fine tune. Well, of course we do. And I'm kind of a big deal. But no, it was just, that was amazing. And, so to me, and I've called people, and I said, look, I totally get it. I was that guy. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, you will not regret it. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're missing, and I know how cheesy that sounds, but you literally don't know what you're missing.
It's hard to get that message across.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a salesy thing, but it's really real.
But it's really totally real. Mm-hmm. When I take these out at the end of the day, and I'm serious, it's sad, right? Right before I go to bed, I take them out, and I told Dad this, it feels like someone shuts the casket. Mm-hmm. That's literally what the whole... And
dull.
I can't believe I functioned.
Right.
I can't believe I functioned.
Yeah. Headaches, shoulders relaxed, all those things.
Headaches gone.
Yeah.
I try to never show it if I'm feeling grumpy.
Right.
I think that's an important part of
public ministry. It worked. You did well.
Yeah. But most days I was biting my tongue the fifth time I said, pardon, or I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, or just gave up. Mm-hmm. The whole thing of really focusing and trying
so hard,
That the headaches went away, and even the neck pain. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much neck pain just from, that tension.
Did you have any ringing in your ears, high-pitched or low-pitched ringing sounds in your ears?
Tell me about that. So if I take them out, I still hear a
So the hearing aid's acting like a mask. So it's still there, but you don't notice it when the hearing aids are in there.
But the second they go in, it stops. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. It's crazy. As soon as I take them out, I do hear something like a pitch.
Yeah.
And that's headache inducing too. And it's hard to think.
Right.
But the second these puppies go in, it's just, I'm serious. It's literally like that.
Well, most people have tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. And when it's increased, it's usually because of hearing loss.
Okay.
And so one of the treatments is, many doctors will say, well, you just have to live with it and that kind of thing. Well, it really isn't. If a well-fit hearing aid will mask that sound and
it's gone.
It changes people's days.
Yeah, I don't hear it right now because they're in. But if I took it out, either or both do it.
It would appear. So there is no real treatment for tinnitus, but there's no cure for tinnitus, but we have great treatments.
Yeah, I guess
even people with normal hearing, we can do things with that. So
isn't that
it's really, really amazing. Yeah. It's a crazy thing. It really is. So we have a program at Kaczmarski Hearing Services for the Diocese of Grand Rapids. Any priests or nuns get hearing aids at our cost. And that is something that I'm trying to get the word out for that. So if anybody's listening, just give us a call. But
if I may, to my brother priests, that's probably part of it's what certainly scared me. Mm-hmm. Without the your help, they're basically impossible to get.
Right, it's true for most people. Yeah.
That's an extraordinary thing.
And if you
thing.
Can find a person who needs to communicate with people more, emotional people, happy people, your day is full of so many different things. It's just really important for us to help too.
Yeah, and if there's any priests listening, we're in GR Diocese, right? Mm-hmm.
Grand Rapids
Diocese. Jump, doggy, jump. It'll change. Yeah. It'll help you minister. It's actually calming. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. A lot of that tension that I just described to the schedule, bled out with these things.
Yeah, blame it on something, right? That kind of thing. So my question is, what would your reaction be if I said you had to give back your hearing aids today? No.
Nope.
You won't give them back.
No, I'll fight you. Well, my dad will. I'm a bit of a sissy. It would be like a death.
Yeah.
It would, and I'm dead serious. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I take them off at the end of the day, it's closing a case. I told Dr. Angela that the saddest part of my day, and I'm dead serious, and I like going to bed, trust me, but is taking these out before I go to bed, because that's like the whole world turns off. Mm-hmm. And I'm one level, ready, it's night, go to bed, but it's really awful.
It's like taking candy from the baby. You just need that connection with it. It is a connection to life.
My alarm goes off, and within a minute, they're in.
Right.
Just because it's...
It makes me feel great that it's working so well. But it is your connection with life. And communication is your connection in society.
Yeah.
It's a connection with social, for safety.
Yeah.
But it also puts you in the world.
Yes.
It puts you where you belong in the world. When you're hearing things around you, you know that there's a bird over there. You know there's a bus over here. You know there's a dog over there. And there's a child in front of you that needs your attention.
Yeah.
And those are the things that are really important.
Yes.
So it connects you with life. And I think that's what's most important. Yeah.
And you know, too, a battle cry for those who have hearing aids, you really do need to do that follow-up.
Right.
You know, because my hearing got a lot worse in 4 years. Right. And I might as well not had the other ones in.
Right.
Except they did kill the whistling.
Yeah.
You know.
Masked it.
But I was surprised at how, I kept saying, I have hearing aids, and they really helped.
Mm-hmm.
But my hearing, of course, got much worse, and I should have stayed on top of it.
And you said that in the magic number 4, it's between 3 and 5 years where we do, we'll put you on the schedule for every 6 months for maintenance.
Sure.
But every 3 to 5 years is replacement time, which is a hard nut to swallow because it's an investment and you need to plan ahead for those kinds of things. But it's also that technology changes so fast. Yeah. Our software becomes obsolete, and the changes are coming along. The ear is the new wrist, is what they're calling it. Anything in a Fitbit now can go into hearing aids, and it'll measure heart rate. It can measure blood glucose levels coming up.
Can it spark hair growth?
We're working on that.
Okay.
Wow, I could retire early if that.
No, you know what got me on them is the what these have that the last one, a lot of different things, but how easy it is. I just touch. Yesterday, Dad and I were with family at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, gee.
That's cold beer and chicken.
Yeah, but high ceilings, horrible acoustics.
Yeah. Well, I just pushed this little button, and the gal in my ear said, party. And I could hear Dad. I could hear David. I could hear,
it will hone in on certain things.
Isn't that crazy?
What you see is what you'll hear instead of the guy over there.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. And it was easy. It was literally just boom. Mm-hmm. And then I touch it, and each time she tells me what setting I've got.
Yeah.
And I've named her Vera.
It's not your sister in there, is it?
No, I've named her Vera.
Vera, okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
All right. Good little guardian angel in there, maybe. For sure, gosh. And also, people don't know what to do with hearing aids when a loved one passes away or something like that. We do take hearing aids in donations, and they refurbish them for third world countries and that type of thing, too.
Oh,
so always donate hearing aids that are not just sitting around or old. You can always refurbish those for that.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was telling Dad, I said, I think of what if, you know, it was the 1950s.
Right.
I just own this, and I'm trying to be a priest without these.
Right.
I are trying to be a human to some extent.
Yeah. It's one of your God-given senses, and we need two ears. Can you imagine just wearing one hearing aid? It wouldn't be enough. You wouldn't have that sense of direction and things like that. So I'll just get by with one hearing aid. No, your brain's looking for that information from both ears.
And you can watch the Avengers.
That's right. It's Infinity a good thing.
Wars. Come into a theater near you.
It's good stuff. It really is. Gosh, there's so many things to touch on, but I just am very pleased for you. I want to spread the word. Thank you for helping us spread the word.
Oh, thank you.
Because when somebody says we treat you like family, well, it sounds like a catchphrase, but we really do want to treat you like family because it matters to us.
Making fun of me, punching me, taking my lunch money.
That's right.
But that's probably not what you're referring to.
No,
but truly, I was the second I walked in, bottle of water, oh my Lord.
Yeah, that's for all of our patients are
and biscotti.
Like yeah.
You guys got biscotti in your waiting room. Yeah. That will bring every priest in the world here.
Okay. Yeah. Sure about okay.
Men,
write that down.
Sugary delights in this here office.
Take it. That's good. Gosh, anything else you want to mention? Just let us know.
I just can't tell you how grateful I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm honored to help spread the word. Mm-hmm. I am. This has been extraordinary.
It's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful word. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming in and and letting us record your handsome face. And we'll.
It's a face made for radio.
We will have a part two to this someday. We'll see.
Okay, cool.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Great.